I would never want anyone to feel that they're lost. I would never want anyone to feel that they didn't have a purpose, that they're not here on purpose, that if they're still breathing on this planet right now, that their message can still have a chance of being delivered. I will be the conduit for miraculous healing in any way that I can.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Hi everyone, it's Salwa, TBM coach here, and today I want to discuss how I manifested my partner and fell in love last year. And sometimes I still have to pinch myself because I was so closed off for so long that I didn't even think what I have right now was possible. Before meeting him, I was single for over 6 years and only had one serious relationship that began in my early 20s. It was incredibly toxic. My self-worth was at an ultimate low, and I'd always been emotionally avoidant. And after this first relationship, I completely shut down. I decided feelings were way too risky. They only lead to heartbreak, and I didn't want to feel that amount of pain again. So I pretended that I didn't want love and that I didn't need help from anybody. But what I didn't actually realize was that I was closing off my heart to seeing myself. I projected everything onto other people. But when I began doing TBM, it was clear that I was also running away from my shadows, specifically the aspects of being invisible and undesirable. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to those words and not wanting to associate ourselves with them and doing whatever we can to make sure they don't surface. And those shadow aspects were my reason for being so detached from dating, because I feared becoming invisible and undesirable in a relationship. And I masked that pain by claiming the only way to maintain my freedom was to be alone. That was my safe spot, to be alone. So in order to manifest my partner, I knew I needed to feel emotionally safe with myself. And I had no idea what that was going to look like. And I was really terrified of what was going to come up. Inner child and shadow were a very significant part of my process because these workshops allowed me to see my inner child, to see young Salwa, and to love the versions of myself that I was taught were unacceptable. So if I could see young Salwa, the bright, vibrant, you know, curious young girl that she was and still is, then I would eventually begin to feel safer being who I was. So I faced the parts of myself I didn't want to look at, and I found expanders who showed me what it meant to be courageous through vulnerability. And I started taking small aligned actions. They seemed small, but they were really terrifying in the beginning. I listened to podcasts with men and women who modeled such emotional availability and openness, which at times were really awkward to hear other people be so open with complete strangers. And I also shared my feelings more openly with old friends and also new friends, because I needed to reinforce that I didn't have to hide from the person that I was, and whatever I was going through didn't make me less than, and I didn't have to pretend that I was better than the moment that was in front of me. When I moved to New York everything really went into motion. I used the reinforcing DI inside of Uplevel, and I used the inner child reinforcing DI to give my younger self all of that unconditional love that she didn't have. So this unblocking and all of the reinforcement, I was creating such a solid energetic foundation for my subconscious. So when I started dating in New York, I was so excited. I'm like, yes, let's do this. But it was so bleak. I would get one date and then maybe after a while I would get another. And I was thinking, okay, universe, I'm here, I'm doing the stuff, but I don't have anyone to date to show you my worth, you know? And it was frustrating at first because I didn't know what to do. I felt defeated. So then I decided to look at where else I was allowing my shadows to control me and where I was giving away my freedom, which was the very thing I was so fearful of losing if I fell in love. I followed this ping and I found all of my answers in my career. I was overextending myself and people-pleasing to feel desirable and seen. And remember, my shadow words were invisible and undesirable. So at work, I was masking these aspects, and by doing so, I was outsourcing my freedom to my job. When I understood the energy behind these actions, I was mind blown. I couldn't believe how long I was blindly showing all of my shadows and projecting all of my fears at work and how closely they connected to my love life. The way that I was showing up at work, which was my security, it didn't align with what I needed to be and the energy that was going to call in my partner. So I knew I had to reclaim some of my power back. I began making more time for me and not making everything about my job and implementing my authentic codes. And then I decided to use dating to reclaim my shadows. And this was now going to be my playground to free my inner child from thinking that she needed permission to be herself or any form of external validation. I wanted a partner, and I was no longer going to conceal myself or conceal my shadows or be avoidant and detached. That wasn't going to work anymore because we can't ask the universe for one thing and hold on to our old behaviors. So I changed my dating perspective entirely in order to create magnetism. I no longer worried about who I was going on a date with because that was out of my control. I made dating about me and it became so much more fun and the pressure came off of me because now I was focused on who I was becoming. I practiced self-acceptance, I practiced trust, and I practiced showing up as me, which led me to my final test before meeting my current partner. One memorable test was with this guy and we went to this fabulous bar in New York, and on this date he said, and I quote, "Crying is weak and feelings are pretty irrational and we shouldn't have to share them so freely with other people, especially at work." This was mind-blowing to me. It felt like he was talking to a former version of myself. And because I was now so intentional about making dating about me, I realized that the universe brought him my way to show me how much I had changed and how much work I had done and the growth I had put in to know that feelings are part of the human experience and we are meant to feel all of them. So in the end, it was actually just a really funny wink from the universe. And of course, I did not see him again because I want someone who is emotionally available and can express all of their feelings to me and receive my feelings in return. My next and final test was with a man who desired me physically. He was very flirtatious and fun and all of the things that I had really wanted for so long because I wanted to feel desirable and this is what I thought it meant. However, this isn't actually what it meant for me to feel seen. Through this work, I now loved myself in a way I had never loved myself before. And this person showed me that no one else gets to decide if I am seen or if I am desirable at all. And this experience showed me that this shadow of being undesirable, it didn't own me anymore. And it was such a relief. Once I made that connection, I didn't even flirt with the idea of seeing him again. I did not need that kind of attention. I knew the kind of partnership that I was calling in. So I ended it with him, And within a week, my partner and I had our first date and we met on Hinge. Of course, at the time, I didn't know that I was going to fall in love with him. And I hope that this reminds you that you never know how it's going to happen. All you need to do is focus on reprogramming and showing up for your higher self and passing those tests that align with the things that you are calling in, and the universe is going to take care of the rest. Inner child and shadow played a really big role in manifesting my partner. It played a huge role in creating intimacy with myself and taking all the aligned actions in all areas of my life, especially as an avoidant, that created so much shift in my magnetism. And so as you continue to seek all the things that you desire, just ask yourself, do your actions fuel your limiting beliefs, or are they creating fresh air for your higher self and freeing your inner child? Because that's going to give you so much information and clarity. And there's no action too small, and you don't have to wait for a test or a cliff to jump off to see yourself. Whatever you're calling in, it's already hovering over you. And I hope that I can remind you that all of your wildest dreams will come true and you deserve it. And I'm rooting for you. If you'd like to connect over a session, I would love to meet you. And you can follow me on Instagram at Salwa, S-A-L-W-A dot Y-A-Z-M-I-N.
And now a word from our partners.
Hey guys, Jessica here. So I know you've heard Lacey share on here about her love for Beekeeper's Natural, especially their bee-powered superfood honey, and I've shared about my love and obsession with their propolis throat spray. But today I wanted to share two other items that they have that I am using a lot of lately. One is their Bee Better cough syrup. So it's becoming spring. The flowers are pollinating, it's gorgeous out, but my allergies are starting to kick in. Especially since moving to Los Angeles, I've noticed a really large uptick in allergies. So whenever I feel my throat gets scratchy or my nose start getting runny, I'll lean over to the Bee Better cough syrup to kind of assuage any of those inflammations that are coming up. I'll use the propolis throat spray on a daily basis for immune boosting, but if I'm needing kind of an extra kick, this is the best supplement to turn to. It has all of your immune boosting properties that you would look for. So it has unpasteurized buckwheat honey, which is really helping soothe like any inflammation, allergy. You know, it's the perfect thing for a sore throat. It has elderberry fruit extract, the bee propolis, which of course is an all-time favorite, which is the bee's medicine. It has chaga mushroom extract, grapeseed extract, olive leaf extract. So all of these extracts are really huge boosters, and I love seeing them all in one product, which is so rare to find. The second thing that I've been loving a ton lately is their Bee Smart Brain Fuel. So if you're someone that occasionally, you know, wakes up with some brain fog, you didn't get enough sleep the night before, it's just one of those days where it feels like your brain is not working at full capacity, and no matter the cups of coffee, it is not coming back online, the Bee Smart Brain Fuel is your go-to. This has royal jelly, which really helps support your energy levels, hormone stabilization, and helps impact the brain. And it has two fatty acids inside of it that really help the promotion of BDNF, which helps create new neurons in the brain. So it's obvious why this would be great if you're having brain fog or difficulty with cognition for the day. It's also really great for reprogramming. If you're looking to deepen your manifestation practice even more so and really carve out those new neural pathways, this will actually help promote the ability to create new neurons. I'm telling you, it comes in different vials. Even just a half a vial or even a third of a vial, I notice a massive shift in my cognition with no caffeine crash, no energy crash. I'm not jittery. It's just complete clarity. And I'll use these actually on days where I'm recording podcasts, so my brain is working at its optimal capacity. Again, that's the Bee Smart Brain Fuel. So if you're looking to try out any of these other products or maybe one of the ones we've mentioned before, You can go ahead and use the code TBM, all caps, for 15% off on the Beekeepers Natural website. Okay, so you guys have heard me talk about blue blocks before. I've shared how beneficial the eye mask has been for me in my sleep and sleep patterns, especially my go-to eye mask for when I'm doing my deep imaginings. But what I really wanted to talk on today was their Sleep Plus red blue light blocking glasses. So I initially started with their daytime light glasses, and I was kind of hesitant to buy the red ones because I didn't really have that much trouble falling asleep. Now that I had my eye mask, it seemed to come pretty easily, and I kept saying, what could this really do for me? I wound up purchasing them last year. I got the Zane sleep pair, which I think are really chic and cool, but that's just my personal opinion. And I started putting them on an hour before bed. Guys, I'm not kidding. It was one of the biggest shifts. I was so tired, I could not even keep my eyes open, which doesn't really happen. I usually am able to watch TV, go on my phone, and then my eyes are kind of like, ooh. But when I wore these glasses, whether I watch TV, even if I was scrolling on my phone in bed right before, which I don't recommend, I was still able to pass out in such an easy, restful sleep right after from wearing these red glasses. They're so, so helpful for winding you down. They're so helpful for calming your nervous system before sleeping. And I think the key is here is that the red light is blocking out 100% of blue light. So even though I might be putting, you know, candles on at night or I'll have my lights dimmed, I'm still exposed to a lot of blue light that is really telling your brain that it's high noon and not time to produce melatonin. But if you have red light only exposed to your eyes at night, you're not having that blue light come in, and thus you're signaling to your brain, okay, it's time for bed. And I truthfully cannot recommend them enough. If you have any questions about my experience with them, feel free to DM me. I love talking about these products. I use them every single day. I now have my boyfriend wearing the glasses, my mom, and my sister. They are all raving about it, and I'm so excited to hear your experience with them as well. And we have a special code for anyone listening, 15% off with code MAGNETIC. Again, that's code MAGNETIC, all caps, MAGNETIC, for 15% off at checkout. Whew, guys, have we got an episode for you today. I am so excited about this guest. I'm so honored that I was able to interview her. If you haven't heard of her yet, trust me, you will be seeing her everywhere. Her name is Jass, and she goes by Jass the Moon Mother on Instagram. We'll have her handle below. Jass is a mystic writer and human design guide, but truthfully, she's so incredible about provoking people to understand themselves and what they're capable of and their soul's purpose at an even higher level. I could listen to her talk all day long. There are so many revelations within this conversation. We talk about purpose and spirituality and the role of teachers and guides and being your own teacher and guide and how to find your own sovereignty within this world around everything that's going on, and her journey, which I haven't heard really as in depth yet, of how she went from living at her parents' home to manifesting this incredible space in Bali, where she is creating her digital workshops and classes from. So I'm so excited to introduce her to you. I know you're gonna love her. And without further ado, here is Jass. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. Jessica here. I am so excited and honored to bring you Jass, the Moon Mother. And so one question we love to kick off here is what your sun, moon, and rising is. It helps people understand how they kind of mesh with others and also understand their own sign a bit better too.
Yes. Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm Jazz. I go by Jazz the Moon Mother. And my sun sign is Capricorn. I actually have a Capricorn stellium. My moon sign is Pisces. And my rising is Leo.
Ooh, love that. I have Capricorn sun as well.
Ooh.
Yes. All about the practical, the business, getting it done.
But also the healer.
Yes.
Capricorn is also such a powerful archetype. I don't think that gets talked about enough.
Yeah. And then I have Cancer rising and Scorpio moon. So a lot of emotions on the other side.
Yes. Yes. I love it. It balances out the earth. So it's good.
Definitely. So one question we also like to start off with is, what is your cultural background and upbringing, and how has that impacted who you are today?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I was born to two Nigerian parents. So my cultural background is Nigerian. I'm Nigerian, but I grew up first generation American. My parents moved to the U.S., specifically New York, in the 80s. And then had me in California in the 90s. And so my cultural background really was between two worlds, one being Nigerian and the African diaspora, and then one being American. So it's always so interesting for immigrant kids to have one culture that they really align with at home. And then as soon as they step out of the door, they're automatically catapulted into this other culture, whatever that culture is, maybe American, European, whatever it is, and having to navigate both of those worlds at the same time, especially as a kid, no one really tells you what's going to happen, probably because your parents don't know, to be honest, you know, and they're just like trying to just keep your head above water, keep the family's head above water. So it's such an interesting dynamic to have grown up with both of those lenses, to see how it has shaped me so much. I feel like I have such a ground of being from my upbringing, from my Nigerian roots, and really understanding respect for the other, really understanding culture, really understanding respect for not only the other, but for lineages past and ancestry, and really understanding the power that lives behind you. You know, because you don't just go out into the world as one person, you're bringing all of those people with you, spiritually, energetically, physically, all the things, which is such a different culture to the American culture that I saw growing up. So I definitely feel like straddling those two worlds has definitely shaped who I am today and how I think and the different perspectives that I'm drawn to. So yeah.
I love that. I think that's so beautiful. And that's such a good point too, about being able to be tapped into your ancestors, because you have this sort of community at home that's separate from, let's say, your day-to-day or school or whatever it may be, you know, the American culture, you know, whatever we want to call that as. So I've been listening to a lot of your podcasts and IG lives and all of that. So I feel like I know you from it.
I get that so much because it's the interwebs, and we're such in a culture right now where everything is on the internet. So before, when you used to tell people, I found you on the internet and I feel like I know you, their response would probably be like, okay. But now it's like, yes, I can totally see that.
I think too, like, the more that you're sharing vulnerably and then people are like, I feel like I know you, you're like, oh wow, like, you do know a part of me. That is true. There is a part of me that you know. And that's such a weird dynamic to think about.
It really is. It is. But it's also kind of cool.
So you've had, it seems like, a massive up level this past year, expansion in your business, booming, moving to Bali. Talk a bit about how you went from growing up in California to sort of where you're at now in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this year, or I guess 2020, I should say, because we're just getting into 2021, but 2020 was a really opening year for me. I wouldn't say big, because I actually don't feel like I've had a big year yet, if that is hard to imagine. The energy that's swirling around me is a lot wider than I've experienced yet. I feel like 2020 was just the crowning, just the beginning of it, just giving me a taste of it. And a little bit about my backstory is, you know, I went to Temple undergrad, Temple University in Philly. And then after that, I moved to London and I studied at London College of Fashion, which is a subset of University of the Arts. And I went there because I really thought that I wanted to be a fashion stylist. I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. Actually, I wanted to be a fashion editor. And it just kind of slowly grew from there. I was like, okay, I'm going to be an editor. I'm going to be a market editor. This is what I'm going to do because I love going out and like picking things that are just really good. I just always felt like I was always really good at that. So before I left for London, I was at Teen Vogue and learned so many things there. And I really thought like that was going to be my path. But actually, when I graduated from London College of Fashion, I ended up moving back home to my mom's house and I was living in her basement. And I probably had applied for almost 300 jobs from the moment of graduation to moving back to her house. I probably applied for 300 jobs in a month span because of how much I didn't want to go back. And all of them were no's. And I was just like, what? How is this happening right now? I've done everything right. I went to all the schools that they said would help. I did everything. I followed the rules. And here I am back in my mom's basement. So that was such a rock bottom. That was such a like, wow, okay, I'm never coming back out of this. So I fell into a deep depression and I just kind of like was just putzing around. I ended up bartending and I was doing that full time. And I met up with some friends on July 4th. This would have been July 4th, 2014. I ended up meeting my husband that night that I went out with my friends.
Oh my gosh.
So we met that night and we were married 8 months later.
You knew.
Yes. It was just like, oh, hey, I seen you before kind of thing. I've seen you in a past life. We're supposed to be together. So we ended up getting married 8 months later. And then we moved to Thailand because we were just feeling like, oh, we just need to get away from everyone. We just want to kind of start building our own life together. And we were maybe like 25 at this point. And so we moved to Thailand and then we were teaching English in Thailand for a year. And that was probably the hardest and most expansive year in terms of growth from being a child to an adult. Because I don't think that gets talked about enough. I think everyone always kind of says, oh, you're 18, you're an adult now. It's like, no, you're not. You're still a child. You have not had any type of life experience that has catapulted you into using your brain as an adult. Maybe you have at 18, but most likely you haven't at 18, especially if you've lived any type of life where your parents are really taking care of you and your finances and all those types of things. Real life, like really being out on your own. So this is our first year of marriage, being in a new country, learning the language, all the things. So our brains really had to move at warp speed in order to survive and in order to really take in everything that was going on. So we got pregnant in Thailand and then ended up having to move back to the US. And from there, it was Saturn return. It was like the beginning of Saturn return. And if anyone knows anything about Saturn return,
oh, yes,
you know exactly what I am talking about. So we built this like very cushy life. We had two kids at this point. We had two under two. Alex was working at a sales job and I was at home with the kids. And we were like, it almost felt like we're playing house, you know, like, oh, I'll stay home and you go work. And then Saturn was like, oh, you know what? I don't think you guys are doing anything correctly over there. So let me just come in and just completely blow everything over. So I remember specifically this one day that really marks Saturn return. We were getting ready for our daughter's birthday. She was turning two. And we go outside to get in the car and our car has been repossessed.
Ugh.
And I look at the ticket that's left there and it says 1111. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're starting from here. So that was basically downhill, another rock bottom. So we lost our car, we lost our house. We ended up having to move in with a family friend and we were just kind of literally moseying around from family friends' houses to family friends' houses with our two kids. I just could not believe that this is where we had come. I didn't understand why. And I remember getting on my knees in my husband's brother's laundry room and being like, look, if there is a God that is remotely close to the vicinity of where I'm at, you have to let me know what's going on. You have to let me know what is going on because I really just want to be here living my purpose. And I don't understand what that is. And then I heard a voice from within and said, you are the purpose. You never lost it. You never lost it. It can't be found. And I was shocked because I wasn't expecting to hear that or see that or know that or feel that. And I made a promise that if you allow me, if you give me the space and time and support, I will spread this message as far as I possibly can.
When you heard that message come through, were you able to receive it in a way that felt, I mean, obviously you did because of now your purpose is aligned with it. But where I imagine when you're in that, you know, I'm thinking about places when I've been really low in rock bottom, it feels like everything's getting pulled out from underneath me. Maybe it's a Capricorn in me, like, I don't know, but I want tangible things. I want like, go do this now. Call this person. Like, I want the action step now.
Absolutely. I was in the bliss for about maybe 3 minutes of it. Like, whoa, that was a powerful, because, you know, when we receive messages, we're not just receiving the words or the sounds of them. We're actually receiving codes. It like unlocks something within us, a belief system that we had trapped, or a lie that we believed, or a truth that wants to come forward. Something deeper is happening outside of just you are the purpose. So after that happened, I was like, okay, what do I do now? What do I do? I'm ready. I'm ready. And I just heard, go back and look at your human design, which was such a bizarre thing to me at the time, because I had only probably looked at my human design for maybe, I want to say 6 months. 6 months before the beginning of the downfall. You know, I was really into it. I was like looking at my chart. I bought all the books and then I put everything on the shelf. I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with this for now. So I was like, okay, you want me to go back to my human design? Interesting. So that night I stayed up until 3 or 4 in the morning, just taking notes. I had my chart open and I was just on the internet, just taking notes. This means this, this means that. It was like a mad scientist. And my husband comes out of the room and he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? It's so late. And I was like, I figured out the code.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, I'm going back to bed. I was like, okay, go ahead. I'm going to keep working on this. I'm going to keep figuring this out because I know that if I'm going through this, there has to be other people that are going through this as well. And the whole point of anyone wanting to be of service to anyone else is because they know on a very deep level the amount of suffering that the other person is going through. I would never want anyone to feel that they're lost. I would never want anyone to feel that they didn't have a purpose, that they're not here on purpose, that if they're still breathing on this planet right now, that their message can still have a chance of being delivered. So I said, you know what? Use me. I will be the conduit for miraculous healing in any way that I can.
That's such a true statement of how we move through our own experience and through our own healing journey and through our own wisdom. It's like, we don't want to keep any of it. It's like, I cracked a code or I up-leveled to the next phase. I need to share it. You know, there's people who aren't there yet. And I think that's so powerful. And I think a lot of people just don't know how. And I think it looks different for everyone. You know, some people, maybe that's sharing that with their family. Maybe some people that's speaking in front of crowds. Maybe it's sharing on Instagram. You know, it really looks different. There was one thing that you had said in a podcast, which was, if you say that you don't know what your purpose is, you're lying. I love this. I love this because the truth is, you know what it is, but you're afraid of it, or you're afraid of the success with it. You're afraid of being seen. You don't know how to do it. Talk about integrating that. So when did the purpose drop for you into like a material form? And then did you know that that was your purpose now looking back?
Well, I'll answer the second question first because I have that answer right away. I believe that as soon as I heard that you are the purpose, I was like, okay, my identity is the purpose. It's me that's the purpose. It's not the thing that I do. It's the thing that I am. And that in itself is the purpose. Now, the reason why that's so much harder than the thing that you do is because we're already conditioned and really primed to do things. If anything ever goes wrong, we always ask, what's the first thing I can do? How can I help you? As opposed to just being with the person. as opposed to just sitting in silence with them and holding the space for them to go on the journey of their feelings and not try to fix it and not trying to hold it back. So we're not really taught how to hold space. And so because we're not taught how to hold space, we don't know how to hold space for us to become. Therefore, we're constantly chasing these outside resources in order to prove who we are. So that was the first thing that I had to switch in my belief system, is that I'm living my purpose when I am fully myself. The expression of that is going to change from season to season. And that's just life. Life, expansion. As a human being, we are constantly evolving. So my purpose, whatever that expression is going to be whatever that is in that season. And because I know that, I'm not attached to the job or to the title or to the amount of money that my course is making or my this or that. It doesn't matter, because all that's happening is that I'm gathering these experiences, I'm alchemizing them into wisdom and then sharing them in that season of life. And that becomes in turn my purpose. So that's the first thing that I would love everyone to receive, is that your purpose is your identity. It's just who you are. And if you have any feeling that you want to wiggle out of who you are and move into something to do, then that's still missing the point. After you find comfort in who you are, and it doesn't even have to be like a full-on healing experience, right? It can just be a choice. I always say change is a choice. You just have to choose it. It doesn't have to be this big deal. Sometimes we get really obsessed with healing and healing and healing and healing and healing. And I always ask people, when are you healed? At what point are you healed? At what point can you move on and do the thing that you came here to do? Because you can always use healing as a crutch. It can always be used as something that it was never intended to be used as. So that's another thought. Once you finally find wholeness, I love using the word wholeness and supportive healing, because all you're really doing is remembering the fullest part of you, the fullest, most whole part of you, then you can be more aware to the physical form that wants to take place in that season of life. And when you become aware of that physical form that wants to take season of life, that's where the ease comes in. The reason why some people say it's so hard, it's because they've skipped some steps. And I'm all about taking steps. I'm like, step one, step two, step three, step four. That's just the way my brain works. And that's the way that I teach and share. It's always in steps, because I don't want anyone to ever think that like somehow someone catapulted over the steps or didn't have to do the steps and they're so lucky and I'm not. No, we're all the same. We're all moving through the same thing. So if you see another person on the other end being an expander for you and you think, oh, I'll never get there, that's incorrect. That's not wrong thinking. It's just incorrect, because they took steps, and all you have to do is take that first step. And it's usually that first step that kind of wobbles people or forces them to lose their confidence or self-worth, is because they don't even want to take that first step towards becoming. And actually, now looking back, I can say that the first step was probably the hardest of all the steps that I've taken so far.
I think there's a point in which when you know the purpose and you know the step that you need to take forward, you are literally shedding essentially a small identity for who you are and stepping into your true identity. And that is so freaking scary for so many people. Because I think with that, it is, well, what if I fail? What if I'm wrong? What if this doesn't work out? And then the famous quote or idea, which is, oh my gosh, I could have been this whole time, and I've been suffering. And I stayed here. I'm the one who kept myself here because I was trying to fit into this box that's not who I am. And saying that maybe I had a part in my own suffering is really painful to look at.
Yes, 1,000. That's it. Because you're equating your identity to the thing that you do that keeps you comfortable. And if there is any point of being a human having, or a spiritual being rather, having this human experience, it's for expansion. It's for growth. It's for evolution. It's for consciousness constantly taking up more and more and more and more and more space. And in order to take up more space, it means you have to let go of things to create space. Same thing with your identity. The identity piece will always be ever changing. Even when you think that you're still that thing, your body has changed. Your perception has changed. Your awareness has changed. And there you are still holding on to an old identity out of comfort, out of safety, because you think that it's still giving you something. When in actuality, your body has already moved into the future. You just haven't caught up yet with it. So the fear, it's really hard and nuanced to say like that the fear isn't real, because the reality that we're currently living in is a past version of ourselves. And that in itself is like, whoa, can you say that again? What do you mean? It's like the reality that you're currently living in is a past version of you, because it just takes time, right? We live in a very hard, gross, when I say gross, I mean heavy, dense material plane. So it takes time for things to come into this plane. It's not just I'm just thinking it, boom, and it's just going to fall down from the sky. No. So that must mean that what I'm seeing right now is a recollection or is a result of all of my past thinking. So it takes time for that reality to change. And because we're so attached to the things that we see, a lot of times we don't want to let go of what we already have because we don't think that we'll get anything else. Same thing with identity. It's non-physical, but it's the same way that our brain works. And if anyone knows anything about human design out there, I have an undefined G center. And that is really my life lesson in this lifetime, is to understand that identity is just drag. It's just a mask. It's just a coat we put on and put off depending on the season of life. Our truest identity, whatever that is to you, is one that we have to define for ourselves. And that's something that we probably never had a chance to do, because from the moment that we were born, everyone was already projecting onto us who we should be, whether that's gender, whether that's name, whether that's look, whatever that thing is, you have been constantly told over and over again who you are. And finally you hear, oh my gosh, I get to be who I want to be. Well, who is that now? How do I even know what I want to be? And like you said, what if I get it wrong? Well, you can't get it wrong. Consciousness can never be wrong.
I think there's also kind of what you're getting at too, is like this, well, I need to find it now. What am I? And then when we have that unsettling period of we don't know what it is, we start looking elsewhere. We look for the teacher, the celebrity, the influencer. Oh, well, I like this person, so my purpose must be like theirs. You know, and then we start sort of mirroring all of these people. And I think a lot of times when I find the most clarity on this, it's stillness. It's being alone, disconnected, off the grid, no cell phone, no service, and just sitting with the truth of the world around me as I'm physically experiencing it, instead of constant ingestion of everything else too.
Absolutely. Because you now have this sense of freedom in a way to like choose who you are, you don't know how to sift. You don't know how to organize. You don't know how to say this is good and this is not good, or this is correct for me and this is incorrect for me. And so you latch onto the first structured identity that you see again, because there's kind of like a limbo space between death and rebirth that I don't think a lot of people talk about. After we die to our old identity or anything really, you know, when we're going through a shift or a metamorphosis, we almost fall into a depression or a sadness because we don't have anything to attach to. And that's just a human consciousness. It wants to attach to everything. It wants to have some source of power, some semblance of belonging. And the whole point of that in-between stage is actually to feel into your identity as God, whatever that is for you. I use the word God in a very provoking way because it triggers a lot of people. And I always want to ask them why. What is so charged in that word that is already negating anything that wants to come through? Because when we talk about sovereignty and true self-sovereignty, we understand that nothing has power over you, not even a God, whatever that version is that you grew up with. And so in order to take that power back, you can't be afraid to use certain things or talk about certain things or talk to certain people, because that means that that thing still has power over you. And the most fearful or the most scary experience that we can truly have is to taste freedom. Because like you said, now we have to take full sacred responsibility for everything in our lives. And that in itself is a nuanced conversation, just with how the world is set up, how the culture is set up, how the scheme of human beings have decided to live our life on this planet is set up. So I want to also acknowledge that. But there comes a time and place where I will not allow anyone to hold anything over me that is in essence trying to control me or trying to have power over me because of X, Y, and Z. And that's probably the scariest thing, to have to really stand up and say, I am God. I am the universe. I am the source. I am all of these things. Can you imagine spending your entire life and people telling you that you are nothing of those things? And then all of a sudden someone tells you that you are all of those things. You don't know what to believe. So you have to latch onto an identity that you see out there that maybe has something that you have, maybe has a car or a house or a job or this or that. And I'm always saying we're out of the era of the guru-disciple relationship. That does not exist anymore. It just doesn't. So instead of you lowering yourself to become a disciple, you can just move into self-discipleship. You can move into you being in communion and devotion with your own self, with your own identity, getting to know yourself, getting to know the instrument, the vessel that you possess, and what wants to be a conduit as a message. What message wants to come through you? No one will tell you that. No one can teach you that. Even at the end of the day, when I'm sharing human design with other people, I'm sharing with them the translation. I'm sharing with them the baseline. This means this, this means that. You still have to go into your own quiet void space and calculate and synthesize, harmonize and activate whatever that means in your chart. I can't tell you that. I just can't. And you can do it without a chart. It's just quicker. Like you can do it with or without. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't even need to have a language of astrology or this or that because we're so quick to give our power away. That's something we're really, really good at. I have to catch myself. It's like, am I really this powerful? It's scary. It is probably the most frightening thing to realize just how powerful you are, just how much power you can yield, just how much influence you can have. And not many people want to take that responsibility on. Or if they do realize how much power they have and that they can wield, they usually take advantage of other people. And then we have a lot of those archetypes out in the world and we see those people and we say, oh, I don't ever want to be like them. But you won't. It's a choice. They're choosing to do that. Just the same way that you can choose to understand and awaken to your power and wield it in a way that is conducive to your aim and intention for the collective. It's always a choice. It's always a choice, always a choice. And something like I have to say to myself and say to anyone that will listen to me really, because then they'll say, oh, Jazz, what do you think about free will? And so I say, oh, I don't know what I think. Let me go inside and ask, like, what do I think about free will? Well, I think that free will is a point or a technique or a gift that has been given to us to show us that not even God can own us. So why should any other man being be able to do that?
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. We have Unblocked Boundaries, the up-level workshop that covers how to navigate a rut if you're in one, a rock bottom, or how to take things to the next level. and access to the community group where you can connect with over 12,000 other manifestors on this journey to find expanders, ask them how to navigate blocks you might be in, tests you might be receiving, and create community. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, E-X-P-A-N-D-E-D, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the pathway. Again, that's all caps, expanded, EXPANDED. And do yourself a favor. As you know, if you've been listening to our manifestation episodes, three things have to be in motion to manifest: unblocking, expanding, and passing tests. The expanding portion is seeing to believe, showing your subconscious that what you want is possible through engaging, encountering with, or reading about, or watching what we call expanders. That's somebody you identify with who has gone on to manifest, is successful in, or inhabits what you want. And you can find on our homepage what's called the motivation. It's the testimonial library where you will read thousands and you can pick the category that you're particularly manifesting, say money, career, love, travel, and so forth. And by reading those stories and going through their step-by-step experience, what they were calling in, what workshops they did to receive it, tests they passed, their magic darks, the expanders that they had to find, you are already creating space in your subconscious for your manifestation to come through. You can find that linked below or on our homepage under the Motivation Testimonial Library. Okay, now back to the episode.
The one thing too I love is this idea of there is no guru disciple. And then I think once people realize that, they can see the wisdom, and it's not to discredit anyone that has incredible teachings and wisdom and all of these things, but then people can really start to see it as the tool. It's a tool that you can use because you have the power to use it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. But now we're actually moving into a different conversation where we're talking about the sacred responsibility of the teacher. Because think about it. Imagine you're a teacher, you're a second grade teacher, and you are teaching these, you know, 7-year-old kids, 6-year-old kids about different things, science and math, and they love your personality. The end of the year comes and they're like, oh, Miss Jessica, I really want to stay in your class. I love you so much. I just want to stay in second grade forever. Now, whose responsibility is it to tell them, actually, you've learned everything that I could teach you and your next teacher or experience is going to do the same or even better than me? Whose responsibility is that? Is it the student to understand that another teacher is going to come or another thing is going to come to expand my consciousness, to expand me as a God being? Or is it the teacher? Because the teacher right now holds the power in that conversation. And there's a sense of power dynamics that happens that teachers are not realizing because they feel a source of power that they're receiving from their students. And they don't want to let that go, because if they let that go, then where does that power come from?
And where does their teaching go? How does the message spread? It's that fear. It's that lack.
It's the fear. Yes, it's always that. Because something that they're not realizing is that actually the teaching wants to evolve. The teaching doesn't want to just stay that one-dimensional, that first time you channeled it. It wants to evolve past that. The teaching itself is a non-physical entity that has the same power, if not more than you. But it's using you to co-create with because you're in a physical body. So if we want to naturally evolve, don't our ideas naturally want to refine themselves and come through as iterations of different things to serve different people at different points in their life? Of course they do. But it's that fear again of letting go of the identity. It's always identity-based. How do I let go of being the teacher of X, Y, and Z? Very simple. You become the teacher of the new thing. There's always going to be a new thing, but will you grant the space or will you give the space for this new iteration, this new refinement process to take form, this new mutation process to take form? And a lot of times the answer is no, because that mutation process or that, you know, we always like to hype up alchemy, but people don't really realize that alchemy is actually going to the depths of the below, the shadow. Everyone's always talking about, oh, the shadow this, the shadow that. That's actual alchemy. going into the shadow to create something. You have to go into that shadow space to retrieve it. So for a moment in time, a blip in time, you will no longer be that teacher. You will no longer be revered as that guru. Can you let that go in order to go and retrieve something more? Because there's always something more, always something more, always something more, always something more. That's just the natural evolution of who we came here to become.
I love that, that it feels like such the clear process of you're in your purpose. And then the second your shadow rears, which is sort of the piece of you you don't want to face, and the piece you don't want to face is, oh, I'm not that teacher anymore. That's scary. Let's put that down. Let's hide that. But the second you see that and you're like, what does that mean? How do I accept that that is also part of me and integrate it? Then it allows for that wisdom, like you said, to teach new, to unburden you, to remove another layer of programming and conditioning that make you think you need to be one way or another.
Absolutely. I love it.
Talk a little bit about this idea that, and I think this is so cool. I think Malcolm Gladwell talked about this in one of his books, where we have these ideas of energy that sort of come down and channel through us. And it is such a responsibility of us to alchemize them and put them out in the world and figure out what that means or what we're going to do with them. And so many times we don't listen to it. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about how there are moments in time where patents for the exact same thing are filed the same day all over the world. And to me, I'm like, oh, there's a message coming down and it's just looking for the right vessel to connect with to put it out in the world.
Yes, that's it. I mean, that's the entire thing. I remember seeing this visual. I can't remember where I saw it, but there was a figure of this being standing behind almost a see-through wall. And behind the wall, you could see every single idea, product, innovation, invention, plant, food. You could literally see everything that could have ever been created. And then you see this figure standing in front of this invisible wall. And this figure has like one of the things, one of the gazillion things that are happening behind the scenes. And the whole visual was basically trying to show us that all of these things exist in the non-physical. And here we are so afraid to bring our one idea out into this world. And I was like, isn't that the truth? That we're so afraid of being not normal. We're so afraid of not fitting in. We're so afraid of not being part of the crew, part of the community. And we touched upon this a little bit in the beginning when we're talking about like, what is American culture? What is that? Like, what is even that culture? Because as soon as you're here, it's almost like you have to let go of being anything different. Actually, difference is so bad and difference is so unsafe that people get killed every day for being different, just by looking different, just by talking different. So why would you ever align to anything in the ether that wants to work with you that's different? And that's probably the saddest part of everything. Because the amount of ideas that are just floating around waiting to be co-created with because that person that they want to co-create with is already equipped, it's probably the saddest thing that I see, because it's not being created out of fear that it's so different. And I tell anyone that is willing to listen, anything that you create, if it's not different, then it probably is not you. You have to be unafraid to do weird things. You have to be unafraid to do things that have never been seen or never been heard before, because you have never been seen or heard before. So why would you go and copy and create something just because you see someone else finding success in it? You'll never find that success. You may find it topically, you may find it for a short period of time, but it will never be sustainable and lasting. It just won't be. Because the reason why we get reward, just like the same way that we reward our dogs or our cats or our pets or anything like that, is because we want them to keep on doing that same behavior. And why would the universe reward you for doing a behavior that is not moving consciousness forward? Why would the universe repay you or reward you for doing something that is totally and completely safe? When your design, if I'm looking at this through the lens of human design, I would say it doesn't matter if you're ready, you're equipped. You don't have to be ready. What is even ready? No one is ever ready. You're never really ready, but you're equipped. Whatever that idea is that has come to you, it has come to you because you have the tools in order to bring it into this form world. It hasn't come to me. It didn't go to that person. It came to you for a reason. And as soon as these ideas come, what's the first thing that we want to do? Bat them away. Nope. I don't want to do that thing. I'm not ready. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not this enough or that enough or whatever the thing is. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie because you don't want to shed this old identity. You don't want to move into this new place of being. And that is what the entire 2020 has shown me, is that if you want to continue to do more and be more and have more, you have to be willing to die again and again and again. And now I just say every breath is a death, so I can just train my brain for that moment where it does feel like things are rock bottom. Okay, I'm still safe here. I'm still safe. Nothing has power over me. My sovereignty is still intact. I'm still here. I'm still present. I'm still here on this earth plane. That means I still have a message to deliver. It's just that the message is mutating. So I'm going to be patient and wait while the message mutates. And when it's ready, I'm going to take it back up.
I think one thing that gets in the way, and I think about this a lot, like if we didn't use, you know, money is just an item, but it's really, you know, this currency of value, having a value currency. And if we didn't have that in order to have food or shelter or, you know, our basic needs met or to be able to care for our family with these things, would people feel more free to explore these messages, explore this purpose? I think in our minds, we see like, okay, I have to make my purpose or whatever I'm doing, you know, if you relate purpose to career, align enough where I can still provide for my basic needs and my lifestyle. And, you know, I always fantasize about, well, if I just had this amount of money, I would live off in the Himalayas and go do this and go do that and all these things. Maybe not, but that's the kind of idealized version of it. And I wonder, how can people, when they're in that place where they don't have income coming in, they're strapped for money, like how did you move from that place of getting evicted, having your car repossessed, to feeling safe to pursue your purpose to align? Because we do need this exchange of value in physical form in this time.
To be honest, I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about it because, like I said at the beginning, my purpose wasn't something that I did. It's who I was. That is the first foundational base to all of this working. You can't think that it's something that you do, because if you do, you will always be searching for that energy exchange. To this day, I don't think about money in that way. I don't think about it in a way where I'm getting paid to do this thing. Money supports my happiness. Money supports me. That's its only job. That's the only thing I request of it. And that's the one thing that it delivers time and time again. I don't request for it to be anything other than that, a support system. If I'm asking for it to bring me joy and bring me peace and bring me self-worth and bring me all these things, I know it can't do that, so I don't even request it. But it's because we don't define what success means to us that we are constantly looking for money to be some sort of validation and affirmation of our identity. And I can't have that if I'm trying to find an identity in myself. I can't be trying to find an identity in someone else or something else. So I can't even think about money like that. And I don't know if it was an automatic shift or if I did something about how I thought about money, but I used to really actually feel very unsafe with money. I was not brought up with how to manage money. My mom was my first point of reference for entrepreneurship. She has been an entrepreneur since I can even remember. And I just always thought, okay, I could do that. It's an option. I could go and get a job based off of my degree and all these things, or I could just kind of try a bunch of different things and see what things I like. But the moment that I heard you are the purpose, there isn't anything that money can do that could create that sense of fulfillment. So now let's bring it into the 3D world, because we do have bills. And we do have kids, and we do have things that we have to pay for and take care of and all those things. And at the very beginning of all of this, when I said, okay, if my purpose is to just show up and be me, I need to learn what that me is first. That's the first thing. I need to learn, who am I? What strengths do I have? Where are my blind spots? What do I need to focus more on? What do I need to learn more about myself? We all already know what our strengths are. We just deny them most of the time. So after I came to grips with my strengths, I said, okay, how can I use this? I know that I have a very provoking type of energy about me, my aura, the way that I talk, my tone of voice. And so I thought, okay, this could be a strength for the right people. Let me see how I can move and groove with this in order to make it into something where people would like to borrow this or would like to harness this for their own lives. And so I studied my human design and I looked at how am I meant to make decisions. And so that's our authority. How are you meant to make decisions that are correct for you? And I'm a sacral authority. And I really was like, I want to learn more about that. I want to understand what it means to move and trust my own body. And the decisions that I made from that point on were never about how much money I'm going to make. Was about, does this feel good for me? Does this feel good? Because as a sacral being, it has to feel good. The body has to feel good and safe. If we're going to give our energy to anything, it needs to feel good. And this was such a new concept for me because this is not how we make decisions. Does it feel good? Like, who cares if it feels good? You just do the thing that you're supposed to do. And I quickly realized that the more that I did things that felt good, the less I worked. To this day, I don't actually like reach out for collaborations. I don't actually reach out, period. Everything always comes to me. Everything comes to me. I just sit here. I tell my husband all the time, I just want to show up. I just want to show up to things because I know that if I'm showing up to the right things, the right people will see me, the right people will hear me, the message will be delivered, and I'm already in my purpose. I'm not going out saying, oh, how much am I going to get paid for this thing? Or how am I going to get paid for that thing? Or how am I going to get paid for this? And to be honest, there's still a bit of skepticism within me. I don't know if that's the Capricorn, but I'm still testing all of this out. I'm still like, eh, but does it actually work? Just to change up the narrative, I'll do something totally different. We have this program called The Vision. And when we launched this program, we did everything that's opposite from the industry norm. I just wanted to see, just for shits and giggles, I was like, let's just see if this thing really works. So I did everything the opposite of what the industry standard was because it felt good to me. And it was the most money we've ever made. It's the most success we've ever had. So I was like, okay, so there's something here. To do something you've never done before, to be something you've never been before, that is the whole point of living in purpose. Living on purpose is to just be you. I know that sounds so cliche and so like, okay, I've heard that a million times, just be me. But are you actually giving your space to be you? Are you actually granting the space to learn about you? And that stuff is free. You don't have to buy anything to learn you. You just need to listen. You're not listening and you're not trusting and you're not protecting what you hear.
Oh, that's so, so true. Even with our work through the manifestation workshops, we have like a guided, you know, do this one, this one, and this one. And the amount of people that write in, love you guys. Thanks for writing in. The amount of people that write in and are like, I'm really called to this other, you know, workshop within the program, or I'm really called to this. Like, is okay if I change, you know, which one I'm doing? And I'm like, yes, it's always okay. The indicator of where you should be working in any facet with anyone's work is where you feel guided inside. That overrides whatever any blueprint anyone says and has laid out for you.
1000%. No one on this planet knows you better than you know yourself.
Absolutely. Okay. And then there's this one last kind of theme that I wanted to touch on with you is that, you know, we're always in this constant expansion. We're always learning. We're always growing. We're always pulling back layers and getting closer and closer to our true purpose, our true authenticity. Because I know sort of a limiting belief for me is that, oh, if I get all the, you know, material things that I want or I strive for in life, then I'm just going to be like, what now? You know, what do I do with this? So I notice that I am subconsciously keeping some things at arm's length because I want a journey there. I want the resistance. I want to be pushed up against things and challenged. And I'm fearful that, oh, well, if I get the things that I want, you know, fully, what will I do there? I'll have no resistance. How do you sort of keep expanding once you've gotten to that next layer or level?
Wow. That's a truth. That's something we all deal with. And it honestly goes back to identity. What about this identity is feeding you in a way that you believe that your new identity will not? That's the only reason why we stay with things, because it's giving us something. Even if that thing that we're staying with is not good for us, it doesn't matter. It's fulfilling a void that we have that we don't believe that we can fulfill ourselves. Because what's the worst thing that could happen? You get all the things that you want and then you're bored. Wow, through that boredom comes innovation. Through that boredom comes mutation. Through that boredom, maybe you sleep all day and your body heals itself and it's well rested. Through that boredom, you go out and you help all these people. Through that boredom, you come up with a new idea. Through that boredom, you binge watch 8-10 hours of Netflix. And in that, you come up with an idea for something. Who knows? It's just that we want the control. And because the resistance is the one thing that we can control, how much pain am I going to receive? How much pain am I going to inflict on myself? We stay where that pain can be dialed in or out. Because if we move into this place where we get everything that we want, the biggest pain that we have is that we don't have any control. And for me, the whole point of coming to this planet isn't to have control. It's to receive contrast in order to remember my freedom.
Receive contrast in order to remember my freedom. I love that.
Yes. Everything else outside of that is just confusion and chaos. And we need that too. We need that. That's also contrast for someone. That has been contrast for me. Like, I'll just keep myself small. I'll just keep whispering. No one will hear me. Meanwhile, you have this thing within you that's like, oh my goodness, if I don't get this thing out, I'm going to scream. But you don't have control over what happens when that message comes out. So you stay small. But what is so bad about not having control?
And I feel like our bodies physically react when we keep that thing in. Like, that's where the disease comes in. That's where maybe health or mental or whatever other issues start to present, because it's your body alerting you to say, hey, wake up. Why is this still in me now?
Yes. Even our spiritual health. I know that's not talked about a lot in this space. We always talk about our physical and mental health, but our spiritual health, I feel like there's more disease in our spiritual health in this space and beyond than we have in our mental and physical. Because you're not aligning to your true identity, there's confusion. And within that confusion, energies can use anything. We're all on the same page that we believe that there is energies that are conducive with peace and harmony, and then there's energies that are in the bubble of confusion and chaos. And a lot of times when we don't listen to ourselves, when we don't trust our intuition, what happens? We become confused. And we're like, what am I supposed to do again? Like, I'm not sure. And that confusion leads to low self-doubt and low self-worth. And then you're crouched down in a little puddle, afraid to even get up. And now your whole spiritual relationship, the relationship that you have between you and the spirit that lives within you, is now filled with uneasiness. It's not healthy. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, the resistance around growth or the resistance around expansion. That's just confusion. The truest identity, you can call it your highest self, whatever you want to label it, doesn't have those feelings. And if they do, it's like, okay, it's just kind of floating on by. It's just another one of these thoughts in the ether. But because we're in the physical realm and we want to attach so deeply to something that we can see, it's like, I don't know what's going to come after this, but I know what's happening right now. So I'm going to attach to what's happening right now and never let that go. And like you said, that's when the harmony, the dis-ease, the lack of harmony comes in. And it affects everything, our physical, mental, spiritual, body, relationships, money, home, everything. Everything on the planet is affected because you are afraid of being you, capital Y-O-U.
There's so much that I can't wait to re-listen to this when we're editing, because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much wisdom in it. And I have to say too, you know, I know part of your purpose is sort of like provoking to get people to wake up and listen and receive. But at least how I'm receiving your message is I feel so much more clear just from witnessing this conversation, because it doesn't feel like I have to go and do all these things. It feels like, oh, I have to go and sit with myself. It's that easy.
Yes, it is so easy. It is so ease-filled. It can be. It can be. And whenever I say to people, like, money is the easiest thing that you can make, I think people look at me like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm the best I've ever been. This is a for real truth. If you could just receive this, that money is the most easiest thing that you could ever receive. Out of everything that you have been through, out of all the obstacles that you've overcome, money is now going to be the hardest thing? I can't. I just, do you know what I mean? Like, out of all the suffering that you've been through, now you want to make money the hardest thing? No, it can't be. Something I say every single day is that my beingness and my words are conduits of miraculous healing. So you don't even have to be in my presence to receive the information or the healing or the wholeness that's streaming out of me. I felt like I wanted to be in all the places. I wanted to feel what it felt like to be omnipresent. How can I be in every single timeline at one time giving what I came here to give? I can just repeat a mantra. I can set an intention that anytime you hear my words, anytime you see my face, you receive miraculous healing, not from me, but from the omnipresent source that I am attached to. Anyone can do that. Anyone.
So where can people find you? What are you working on? How can they connect with you deeper? Because everyone's going to be going nuts.
I am on Instagram at themoon.mother. That's really where I'm at. And I really give all of my time and energy on Instagram. I'm not a fluffy type of person. I pick one thing that I like and I'm like, okay, let's do all that. I'm not on Clubhouse or any of that other stuff. I just can't keep up. What am I working on? Well, you know, we have, and what kind of people know us for is our human design soul maps, which were born out of me looking that night that I shared with you guys when the voice within me said, go to your human design. The soul map is actually a refined version of that night, of all the places that I looked, all the things that I studied in order to understand who I was. So we have those, which is just like a beautiful entrance into knowing yourself. And then I really love working with conscious entrepreneurs and really helping them understand that money is the easiest thing that you can do in your business. And so we have a program called The Vision. And The Vision is this place where after you've gone into your void, we also have a void, but the vision is after you've gone into your void, you retrieve something in that space. You retrieved a vision, your purpose, the actual tangible expression of your purpose in that season of life. And so we take conscious entrepreneurs through this framework, the Awaken and Align to Soul Purpose Cycle framework. And by the end of it, they're ready to launch a soul offering their way, not anyone else's way. Not a business coach's way, not a strategist's way, their way, a way that's aligned to their design. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And I'm just interested to see what comes next. I feel like there's a lot of stuff floating around me and I've just kind of been just the mountain, just kind of standing still and looking and watching and waiting. So yeah, I would love to connect with you over on Instagram. And thank you so much for having me. This has been such a joy.
Of course. Yeah, this is such a powerful conversation. Also, I'm loving following along your journey in Bali, and I'm such a interior design person. So watching the office space get transformed is so cool.
Yes, it's so fun. Honestly, it's been such a good time. And that can be a conversation for another time, but just the money aspect of it, like spending money on things or circulating money on things that I would have cringed a year ago. I'm just like, okay, let's do it because money supports my happiness.
I feel that so deeply. You know, there's this one silly chair that I like. And, you know, I was looking at the price tag of it and I'm just like, I would never in my life spend this money on it. And now I'm at a place where I am spending too much of my thoughts on this chair. And now it needs to just manifest and be here so I can use my thoughts for something more important and more powerful.
It just needs to be here.
Oh, it is coming. I'll share a picture with you guys once it's here. Well, thank you so much, Jazz. This has been so incredible, and I can't wait for everyone to connect with you further.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Since it is the end of April, we have our new April winner for our 5-star review. And we have this month, Groovy Nola. Groovy Nola, please get in touch with us through Intercom on our website to receive your 1-year membership to the pathway. Groovy Nola writes, keep going. Dang, y'all, it's been a year since I've started listening to the Expanded podcast and joined the pathway. I found this through a friend who was featured in a process episode. So curious, I wonder who it was. Since finding this podcast and this work, I've unblocked and reprogrammed years of deep, deep internal wiring. Years. I am so grateful to have had this work throughout the course of the pandemic. Today, I'm in a place that a year ago, I couldn't have even dreamed of. My authentic code is my new internal compass, always asking myself, does this align with who I truly am? I've let go of my ego like nobody's business, and in the process, have found myself with a partner who has exceeded every expectation and holds space for me with such grace. Just this week, I moved into the house of my dreams with a landlord who is also an architect. What a winner. He started passing off smaller jobs that he doesn't have time to take but are perfect for me as a bridge job. Sometimes the timing of my manifestations are so uncanny, it makes me laugh with gratitude. My trust muscle is way stronger than it was a year ago, and I have this deep knowing that if I keep going, it'll all unfold. Thank you so much to everyone at TBM, this community, and y'all for doing the work. Keep going, baby. Keep going. I love this review. One, because I feel like I can really feel this person's energy. It's just so optimistic, so in their worth, so in their power, and so at ease and flow. Just by the way that they are describing, you know, what has come through for them in the past year, really going into their wiring and just being in alignment with who they truly are. And as they find that alignment, they're able to call in, I mean, just even what they've listed here, brand new partner holding space for them, the house of their dreams, connecting with our authentic code. I mean, it's just so inspiring. It makes me even want to tap back into the work on the days where I'm not really feeling it or in kind of a mood or whatever it may be, because it's a reminder that this isn't about all of the things. It's about that internal feeling of peace, that internal feeling of joy that we all deserve and are worthy of. So in Groovy Nola's words, keep going, everyone. You deserve it. You're worth it. And if you guys want to be entered for a 1-year membership to our pathway, which is our all-encompassing membership subscription portal, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and we will choose a new winner next month. Also, if you have an incredible manifestation story where you've made the work your own and really feel that you have something unique and different to share and expand others in, please submit your process story in our process submission forms linked in the show notes. Have a beautiful week, everyone, and see you next time.